Live from New York, Los Angeles, and the Big Island of Hawaii. This is The Bachelor Masters, and after a long hiatus of The Bachelor Universe, we're back. The list of women was dropped by ABC on Friday, and they followed up with this countdown to Ari Lyandike Jr. episode last night. So we are locked and loaded and triple coasted here on Bachelor Masters. So Chris, you are in the great state of New York on the right coast.
That's absolutely correct. And the right coast is the coast of Lake Ontario, because I'm in upstate New York, just south of Lake Ontario.
From the left coast, here in Los Angeles, just east of the Los Angeles River, which constitutes our body of water here in East LA. I'm Craig, and all the way across half the Pacific Ocean is EZR from Hawaii.
Yep, I'm in on the Big Island on the Hilo east side of Hawaii, so lots of rainforest.
I hope you don't mind me saying, ECR, I just happened to see on social media earlier, you had a birthday recently.
Oh, yeah.
May I say happy belated birthday to you?
Thank you. 33.
To ring in this new year for you, then, with a great episode of The Bachelor. A new season. Doesn't get any better.
I agree. Especially with someone who's has a history with The Bachelor.
When you said you're 33... my normal human brain said, oh, wow, you're young and, you know, got your whole life ahead of you. And then my Bachelor Master's brain said, they wouldn't even consider you to date Ari at that age.
Yeah, I'd be too old for him. I'd be too old to be a bachelorette.
There's a 23-year-old, well, yeah, which I think is a plant. She must be a plant, because I think almost literally every other girl is between 25 and 30.
Is the 23-year-old Becca?
The person
with the short hair?
No, Becca has not listed her age.
See, I wonder if that is because she's like 17 or 18.
Well, that's the speculation online, is that she's underage. But come on, let's be honest. They're not going to, especially with what's going on in Alabama with Moore, the Senate candidate, and dating 14 through 17-year-olds.
Roy Moore. I doubt that.
The American Broadcasting Company is going to put a 17-year-old on The Bachelor.
This is a kind of a rare thing for The Bachelor to put on a short-haired girl. Right. Really rare. I mean, I think it's the only time I've ever consciously seen it.
She's definitely distinct, and I think there's a lot of odd spellings going on this season, and hers is B-E-K-A-H. So in order to distinguish her from the other Becca, I vote we call her by her name as it's spelled, which is Bika. But the 23-year-old, I'm just looking at the list here, is Makuel, M-A-Q-U-E-L, 23. She's the photographer. She started off the episode. We saw her photographing a wedding.
Yeah.
I have her up here. She's from Utah as well, and she does wedding photography and whatnot.
There are two women that are older than 30. Lauren J, the recent master's graduate. She's 33. And then the other one is Lauren S is there's like five Lauren. Lauren S is 31. She's one of the two social media managers, which I know a lot of social media managers. It's a really important job, because I tweet at services that I use, and when they tweet me back, I feel like very empowered, so I appreciate that job. But Lauren S, the 31-year-old social media manager who's over 30, she said that her favorite author is J.K. Rowling, and that makes her a nerd, which I thought was kind of funny, because if being a nerd is being a fan of a phenomenon known as Harry Potter, I mean,
it's like also saying, I don't know. Yeah, like I enjoy the Marvel films and I'm a cinephile.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so the fact that she read a book, I think, that wasn't required for class makes her a nerd.
We don't know anything about her yet.
No, I mean,
you might not have read it. That's the point. Right. It's just her favorite author.
In the Bachelor universe, having read a book that wasn't for class or an obligation makes you a nerd. You know, if you're not out tanning.
This is based on 33 past seasons of Bachelor and our growing sample of women and men that give us insight into what is actually is 22, not 30 women in this pool. They must have ran out of good contestants, I guess.
Well, I liked in this episode, I don't know if they've done this in the past, but this kind of pre-season episode, they give some clips of people's submission videos that are only focused on briefly, but I thought was interesting to see in this montage of all of the things that people sent in, like, oh, they're cooking naked in their kitchen, or they're taking like a mannequin around town and swinging with it and stuff.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, that person would be considered like the, you know, extremely hilarious person of their group, because it's so ridiculous. It's such a small, like, you know, there's a group of Sex and the City girls and there's the funny one, and she takes a mannequin around and subscribes to the Bachelor. So I can see these girls doing it and just laughing the whole time. And the cooking naked was really like sexual for, I guess it was on at 9 p.m. for me. What time was it on for you?
It was on at 10 p.m. here in L.A.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All because of that single shot. Yeah.
I bet.
Thank God that they saved it for after hours. Right.
Corrupt the hearts and minds of young people under, well, again, thinking about Senate candidate Moore in Alabama. We now are in uncharted territory when it comes to those kinds of things.
Which, just for posterity, that election is happening right now. We just want to, you know, it's kind of as a time capsule. We'll have to report on how that went later. We don't know right now.
Well, as our Bachelor Masters listeners know, we like to thread in social and economic and other timely issues into our deconstruction of Bachelor Nation. I would like to be a fly in the room of the producers that select the people, because I wonder to what extent, I mean, this is a big sample and there's lots of sample bias that could be introduced. Do they only pick people with funny videos? Do they only pick people with sincere videos? Do they spread it across different kinds? Like, you don't necessarily want all 22 women to be the videos that were super highly produced by their friend, the filmmaking major, right? That's like super scripted and well shot with good lighting. And you don't necessarily want all funny ones. You don't necessarily want all webcams sitting in my bed. So I wonder how they sifted through all the thousands that they got in order to select.
Right. It's like the secrecy of the when they pick, you know, Harvard admissions. Right. Just like, do they pick 20 videos?
Do they send out a Bachelor alumni to go interview the future?
We need to get some legacy Bachelor candidates on also. Some kids of former Bachelor contestants.
I'm surprised. I was actually surprised that there isn't like a comeback character.
They get too old.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when you have your ceiling at 30, you're kind of limited by. I guess you could have the twins back on, but they kind of botched it at Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
But turning our attention to Ari. So his dad is Ari Lyndyke Sr., who I guess if you're into car racing, you would know. He won the Indy 500 twice in the 90s. And I know something about auto racing, mostly because I detest cars, so I feel like I try to educate myself in them in order to have ammunition to speak against them. As attuned Bachelor Masters listeners will know, I don't drive myself here in Los Angeles, which is kind of rare, but becoming more of a thing. But funny thing about car racing is it's not like football or baseball where you play a whole season and then at the end you work your way up to the World Series and win the championship. You could win the Indy 500 just once and never win anything else ever. So I don't know how this fits in to Ari, the Bachelor contestant, Does he race in the Indy 500? Is that why doesn't he race in Daytona 500? See, these are things that where I start to get into this whole racing culture that is a bit beyond me.
Yeah, I think it's a style of car. Not that I honestly think it's at all.
Open
I mean,
wheel or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a great, some kind of awesome, you know, thing you can do to make you better. But I think it's the luge argument that, like, you just strap someone down and you throw them. And that's a great luge. Just like, you know, you get someone to press the gas.
Luge
and then
is the only sport where you could have no prior experience and still win.
Yeah, you just gotta have nerves of steel.
I think to be an auto racer, you have to be super. You have to like have a lot of stamina. Like you're essentially sitting in a hot car for hours and hours on end. But it's like working in a factory, right? Because it's just repetitive motions. You turn left and then you turn, and then you go straight, and then you turn left and you go straight, and you turn left and you go straight, and you turn left and you go straight. Right? That's the Indy 500. I mean, in the Indy 500, you can't even touch the other car with these Indy cars. Like, it's not like NASCAR where you bump and you hit and you're doing all this crazy like teamwork and all this kind of stuff. Indy 500, you can't touch the other car because they're such finely tuned automobiles. So you just go straight, and then when you hit the end of the oval, you turn left. Did I say right? I think you have to turn left. You only turn left. There's never a right. This is the world that Ari lives in.
Yeah.
And there he is. I'm looking at him talking about that on Good Morning America right now. And he loves it.
You guys are going to have to stop me from making this entire season of Bachelor Masters podcasting a takedown of car culture and car auto racing. This could, you know, I could really alienate some of our listeners.
Yeah. Well, I agree. But then, honestly, I mean, I agree that it's I can't say it's completely ridiculous, but I do think it's a little like, yeah, cool. Like, I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think it's a sustainable sport. I don't think, or even a sport. But either way, Ari is kind of a throwback to that old type of bachelor that used to have.
Right.
That, like, look at him. He's buff and he has this career. They used to concentrate a lot on the bachelor's career. Not so much on the bachelorettes, but on the bachelor.
What do you think about that? Because I've complained in the past about how the bachelor and the bachelorette is becoming less and less about that. They're casting celebrities as opposed to actual bachelor and bachelorettes. Now, Rachel was a lawyer, which I thought was great, and I think we talked a lot about that. But so, you know, even though I have this sort of built-in dislike of auto racing or just whatever, I respect the fact that we're getting somebody. Yeah, sure, he was born into it, but it's not like this is an easy job to have. He works hard, he travels, he has to sit in a car all day racing, and seems like he works out, keeps himself together, has money. Like, isn't this exactly what we want in a bachelor?
Right. And by the way, he's also now, I don't know how you get worn out on racing except for the fact that you're sitting around all day, but he's now a real estate agent, which is the new kind of, you know, if you're a minor celebrity, real estate agent is like the perfect way to go. So is owning a restaurant. I'm not saying being a chef, but owning a restaurant. Is like if you live in a small town and you know that's blah blah blah's restaurant, you're gonna get for sure clientele just like you would get for sure, you know, wow, Ari from The Bachelor is gonna sell me my house.
Right.
It's like a new level of, you know, and in that kind of way I feel for real estate agents and real estate agents that study and try to do well, or people that want to start a restaurant, because if that's an innate, you know, already a competition that used to not be there, that's got to be, you know, it's a good reason to go on The Bachelor, basically. Just like the last contestant was like, he's a real estate agent, I'm a real estate agent, we have so much in common. Like, okay, well.
Oh, that's so right. They had the woman who said that, like, we'd be a good match because we're both real estate. Well, that was one of the really young contestants also. The woman who said, I'm 25 or something, and I've sold like $5 million worth of real estate last year.
Yeah.
And well, there that is
the this year there's the, let me try to find her here, the real estate executive assistant.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the executive assistant. So the executive assistant is Bibiana. Yeah. And then there's the real estate executive assistant who's Chelsea. Oh, okay. Well, Chelsea's actually, if I'm getting this correctly, is from Maine, from Portland, Maine, which I found interesting because I used to live in Maine.
She gets bonus points for that from you, right,
yeah.
Craig?
Yeah. I have a fond love for Maine, so she seems pretty cool. Chelsea.
If that's the although just to this point about this critique of race car driving as maybe not having as much skill as some other sports or whatever you'd want to call it, that is sort of the thought I had when she was talking about her success in real estate. She seems like a very well put together person. We really don't know anything about her so far, but it did get me thinking. I think a lot of your success in real estate has to do with the area in which you're selling, right? Because if you're selling houses that are worth millions of dollars and you have wealthy people who are able to afford those kinds of places, well, if you're halfway decent at selling real estate, you're going to clear $5 million. I don't know. It's not.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was an odd comment.
That's not Chelsea we're talking about. This is another real estate agent, right?
Yeah. This is that last one, the one that said they'd have a lot in common.
Carolyn 26 Brunette.
Yeah,
she's the one that is into Riverdale, according to her.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's fine. It's just a show for little kids, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. I'm willing to bet that a significant amount of our listeners are Riverdale people, so let's be careful.
It's fine. It's the same kind of comment as the Harry Potter comment. You know, you can like Harry Potter, but don't go, you know, it's not exactly the. Wow, like, look at that pinnacle-ness of this.
Well, this
thing. But I think, isn't that part of what makes a good contestant? I think this is to what you were saying before, Sarah, about Harry Potter, what it says about the person more than what they're actually picking. Because, you know, because for favorite TV show or book or something, I don't think you can pick something too idiosyncratic because you'll immediately isolate yourself in the Bachelor universe. What you need to say is, I want to show that I'm a, quote, nerd, so I need to pick from Hunger Games, Harry Potter, you know, some of these series that are accepted. You're not going to say, I love Ulysses, you know, or...
Exactly.
You know, I love HBO shows for TV. You're going to pick something that's kind of like, okay, a lot of people have heard of, and it establishes, like, some credibility. So I understand why she might say that.
I think I told you guys this story, but I know, you know, the one time I ever printed out the application to be on The Bachelor was not for me. It was because someone I knew had a cousin that seemed like the kinds of girl that would go on The Bachelor. So it's not even a, you know, we work backwards in that way. It's not like someone sitting there. It's not like someone like me could sit there thinking, wow, I really want to find a husband. I want to go on The Bachelor. I think the kinds of girls that go on The Bachelor are the kinds of girls that look at people on The Bachelor and go, that girl's just like me. I could be on The Bachelor. It's not exactly like an all-inclusive,
If that's not where it starts, I think if you're going to be smart and go on The Bachelor, you have to at least conform to someone that's probably been on the show before to some extent, don't you think, to be successful? Well, and you find, I'm going to show my real personality in these ways. But basically, what template do I fit before I go on that I can kind of start from a place of safety and not get eliminated right away?
Look at emotional intelligence. She exploded with, you know, F you guys, the whole, because she thought she was so much better than everyone. So yeah, it's not a good place to go if you already are taking an avenue that's, you know, I'm going to sneak in here. I'm actually secretly smart. No, wait, I can't, you know, and who knows? She just might be super conceited. So it kind of, didn't work out.
Even if she is I think, We were hard on her. She was super conceited. Either way, I think you can say that, even if you like her.
Yeah. Well, I think that because ABC doesn't do this, and, you know, that we'll talk about. I think ABC is kind of doubling down on the fact that Ari is such a controversial bachelor, because instead of what they used to do is defend any controversy. Right. Someone gets caught doing something, they're going to stand out. They're going to, you know, come out in front, as they call it, and say the thing that's like, we know these rumors, but it's fine. We've talked about it, and the producers have gone ahead, you know, just like they did with Corinne and DeMario recently. But in this case, they did not come out in front of the controversy with Ari. And it's very 2017 of them to not address the fact that there's like a story of this lady that claims she's Ari's ex has gone to multiple publications and told them stories, showed them text messages, said the last thing they had to eat before he went on The Bachelor. Like, it's pretty detailed.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Let's try to group this together here. So we have Ari, the controversial bachelor. We have Ari's ex. And then I also want to go back real quickly to the emotional intelligence thing. So if you read Betches.com, am I pronouncing that right? Betches? They did their takedown, their teardown of the list of women, and they tagged Jacqueline, the woman who's getting her PhD, as the potential emotional intelligence of this season. Obviously, we don't know anything about her, but just because she's getting a PhD doesn't necessarily mean she's conceited, to use Chris's word, but, I mean, there's definitely that potential. Because they pointed out that her PhD is in chemical psychology. So whatever that is.
So psychiatric drugs.
Well, it's not psychiatry, and it's not like pharmacology. It's chemical psychology.
Right. So that sounds,
I'm sure,
like,
we'll hear all about what that is from,
oh, yeah, that's
from
true.
Jacqueline, and whether or not she goes by Jackie or Jacqueline, well, or whatever. But okay, so anyway, let me just really quickly address the Ari things. The first is, just from choosing him, I don't really see what was so controversial. I know all women wanted Luke or whatever, this and that, and the guy from Wisconsin and whatever.
Peter,
they like these more, like the celebrity, I guess, and Ari's not a celebrity, so it's like, oh, we got to get over that. So I honestly don't see what the problem is with picking him, and I feel like people just kind of need to get over that, because they're going to pick who they're going to pick, and he seems just as good, if not better, than the other people. You know, at least he's got his good job. Now, the thing with the exes is that isn't there always going to be that? And I always find it interesting when men break up with women sometimes. It's like the woman will like accuse the man of being a jerk about it, or like, you were with me and then you went on The Bachelor. Well, you know, people are allowed to break up, and when someone better comes along, sometimes that's what causes the breakup. So being chosen for The Bachelor might make you want to break up with the person that you're with, because that's just not what you want to be with. And that's, I don't see that being wrong. It sucks, but it's not wrong.
I think this is a great time to go into the recap, because I can tell you why Ari is such a controversial choice.
All right, let me play the recap music sound effect. It's easier with the Ari recap. All right,
so here I am with the recap. This is the 6-year recap that I'm going to try to fit into 3 minutes. Okay, so first there
Hold on,
was
let me set the timer here.
No, don't set. So first there was a Bachelor Brad. Everyone knows Bachelor Brad Womack. He was huge because he was the last one picked by his own merits, not a trade-off kind of situation. In retrospect. So he did not end up picking either woman at the very end, and people labeled him a commitment phobe. I personally thought he was very smart, because, you know, sometimes things just don't work out, and he was not a commitment phobe I just think he saw two women at the end. He's like, these are great women. I just don't see marrying either one of them. I thought he was honest. I like that. But he, according to him, he got drinks thrown in his face for years.
Right.
until he got picked again as the Bachelor to get a second chance because he was considered the most hated Bachelor.
Right.
He, at the end, picked Emily, who had a great sob story, and honestly, she seemed like a Barbie, actually sweet lady who has a kid, and I can't stress enough how much of a Lifetime movie this is. She was gonna marry a race car driver, and had a kid with him. The race car driver dies, and then her second to last pick is Ari, who's also a race car driver.
Right.
Like, that is so, I don't want to say silly because it's people's lives, but that's
well, just to jump in real quick, sorry to interrupt, but remember JoJo?
Yes.
She picked, what's his name, who's the brother of, what's his name, the quarterback.
Yeah.
And Aaron. Because on the previous season, it was, what's his name, who she was second to last, Ben, who was his high school star quarterback. So, remember?
There's connections.
Kind of. I think we've talked about, I think we talked about it in that context, but if you get burned by someone who's a race car driver, it doesn't seem all that surprising that you would have another race car driver in the mix.
Well, he died. He didn't get burned. He died.
Oh, wait. Like, maybe he literally got burned. No, I'm sorry. Edit that out.
It's like a Vertigo thing. It's like this guy died, and we're going to dress up this new person to be like the ideal that's gone.
They could take the TV movie in so many ways, except that he didn't win at the end. But I'll get to that because I want to make sure. So Emily and Brad were together for such a short time that they thought Emily was going to be the new Bachelor. Instead, Jillian gets picked as the new Bachelor. And seriously, guys come on Jillian's Bachelorette season and say they are bummed because Emily is not the new Bachelor. That's how much of a guy favorite she was because she's, you know, perfect blonde princess, and that's how much of, and she was a fan favorite. I mean, I felt for her. Imagine you're the kid, you know, she named, I think the guy died when she was pregnant, so even more like devastating. That's the heir. Yeah, it's a sad story. So from Emily's season, so here's what happened in Emily's season, is like a really short rundown. She ends up picking Jeff, who is I loved him. He was a sweet, like, not, you wouldn't think it was her type at all. Like, just a kind of a cool dude. I think he was a Mormon. He skateboarded. He just seemed like he was really genuine and honest. And
wait. What makes him genuine and honest? The fact that he's a skateboarder or the fact that he's Mormon?
The fact that he went on The Bachelor and didn't look at the tropes. He wasn't like, hey, I'm not a, you know, 6 foot tall, whatever. He had a company. He had a startup. But he wasn't like the Bachelor cookie cutter. And he did it. And he was honest with her the whole time. And when Emily rejects Ari, like the last episode, she tells Ari, you know, I felt it more with Brad, basically saying you're not as sincere. I mean, Jeff, you're not as sincere as Jeff. And that was so interesting because Ari doesn't cry. Ari gets upset. You can tell it just all felt fake. So.
Right. Well, they showed that last night where he just sort of gets up and goes into the car.
They showed that. Yeah, I was going to interject quickly. I had that impression too. It's like when she's crying at first, he's acting very caring. And then he kind of figures out what's going on and he says, okay, I'm gone. Okay, no, you don't have to drive me out. And he just leaves.
Yeah, and he's definitely not emotionally devastated, as they said.
He's emotionally unintelligent, is what you're saying.
Well, no, because but Chris Harrison said left him emotionally devastated, did not. And by the way, Emily did not pick him for the fantasy suite. She had a chance, and she said no. And they weren't crying, and on on Emily's season, he had dated a producer and didn't tell her beforehand. Mm-hmm. So he was like sneaky all along.
So let me go back to my sort of naive comment that I didn't understand the controversy around picking Ari in the first place. Do you think all of this this is all news to me, I hadn't kept up on this in-depth knowledge about Ari, is this why people were upset when he was picked, because they knew all this about him already?
I don't know if anyone remembers. I mean, I remember, so maybe other people do. But here's what it seems like to me, maybe, and maybe the fact that he wasn't picked in the first place for a reason. There might have been some kind of backlash. But who was picked, who was like fifth runner up, was Sean. And he has a kid now with the person he picked because he was the bachelor.
Right.
But
But he's the blonde guy.
the blonde guy that was like, that was kind of like a mystery to me why he got picked. But let me just say that I think Sean, because he's so heavily entwined in the bachelor world, I think he like campaigned for Ari because he's a buddy of his. Like, it's kind of the like buddies look out for buddies type thing. That's how I feel. I don't know, but I definitely think that the Ari thing was like an inside job. There was no public clamoring for him. And that there's my recap. You can sing the outro song now. Just kidding.
Oh, wait, well,
I
you mean
didn't
the
know he
ending
was
song? Like, was that was the recap? No, no.
Yeah.
No, we can't play that until we're completely done
Oh, okay. Sorry,
with the
sorry.
recap segment. So.
Well, yeah, you know, this whole recap segment slash I'm gonna also call it the controversy segment because I didn't realize there was any controversy with Ari. But I also follow this probably the least out of the three of us. But for me, from a person on the outside, I was just confused because Ari is from the distant enough past that I didn't know who he was. Whereas some of the other, you know, a lot of the recent challengers or whoever, Bachelor and Bachelorettes that they picked, the people that I know right away because they've been on recent shows. So that was the only thing I knew about Ari. And it's kind of surprises me that we're talking about controversy around him because I wouldn't have, just knowing nothing about him watching the show last night, he seems to fall into the completely kind of controversial, kind of bland, like that he would have kind of wide appeal. So that's surprising to me. Why? So people think because he was dating someone and he went on the show, that's what makes him so controversial.
Maybe it's everything I said plus that, you know. He also let me just expand one little tiny piece. So what happened was that he had dated a producer on The Bachelor when he was on The Bachelorette and never told Emily. Like, he dated her in the past. But you'd think when he saw this person, he'd say like, "Oh, I know her. I just full disclosure, I dated her." And Emily would have said, "Oh, okay, I don't care." But she found out almost at the end of the show.
All right. I'm gonna play the role of defending Ari here. So let me back up just a little bit. The guy's a race car driver. He's the son of a famous race car driver. He's rich, probably, I assume, his family. I mean, aren't being a producer on a TV show, there's many different kinds of producers, right? I mean, she could have been a production assistant, right? We don't know. Do we know? Which she could
Well,
have just been a bit player, and it's just irrelevant.
she's the one that gives. Well, I think the relevant part is how intense their relationship was, not who she was. But she was one of the ones that speaks to them as they're like, asks them questions. So one of those producers that becomes your friend so that you
All
divulge
right.
all kinds of things.
Well, that's a little shady, I guess. But
So right, so she had constant contact with Emily.
I mean, I think when you compare it to the people that are on Bachelor in Paradise who all know each other, you know, this is small potatoes. I guess, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, this would have been a big deal because it was before Nick declared that people have sex in the champagne room. And, you know, we now know that they all live in Nashville together. And, you know, the Bachelor universe has become much more transparent in the last few years. And he's kind of. You're right, part of the old guard, where those
Yeah.
kinds of things were more controversial.
Right. And yeah, things were more under lock and key back then because now Instagram makes everyone know what everyone's
Right,
doing. Back
exactly.
then, you just kind of are like, well, who's that? Who's that producer? You know, now we know kind of names or faces.
Well, if you had
But
to choose
yeah, go
one
ahead.
thing, sorry, again, sorry to interrupt, but if you had to choose one thing, just one thing that you think is why people didn't like him as a choice. What would you think it is?
Old behavior is a predictor of behavior, of
Just
like recent
because
behavior.
he acted a little not connected when he was the second place runner-up?
I think yes, and also the fact that he never disclosed, and we all know that covering up, lying and covering it up is worse than the actual deed, or right. I don't know, that's how I feel sometimes when it's a small lie or when right. it's a whatever. And I think he did that already, and then he's trying to discredit his ex. It just feels very, he just feels very inauthentic. But then again, he could be authentic. But his buddy, Sean, he probably sees his buddy, his really good friend, still really good friend, living off of being on The Bachelor. Maybe that's his, he wants to be realist. I don't. That's how it feels.
Is he a better or worse candidate than Nick, who I believe was last Bachelor?
No one's as bad as Nick.
Yeah, Nick's pretty bad.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, Nick's, see, maybe at least Ari like drives race cars. Nick,
I'm on the outside of this a little bit because he's the only one. This is my second Bachelor, so I'm thinking, even based on what you're saying, I'm thinking, am I just really cynical? But I realize that Nick is who I have to compare to, so I kind of agree that it's like, oh yeah, Ari has these indiscretions. He's not the moral paragon of monogamous relationships, but. Isn't that all Bachelors?
No,
but
Nick is an isolated instance. It's like when you're putting together an Excel spreadsheet with a bar graph or something, and for some reason you have one data point that's way, way, way below all the others and it messes up the fidelity of your line graph.
Extreme outlier,
You kind of have to eliminate Nick from a conversation to even start comparing the Bachelors.
All right.
They had to have women on the show saying, do you remember that they had him go out in Santa Monica and say like, hey, I'm Nick, the new Bachelor, please don't hate me,
right?
Because he was a villain for a season and a half.
Well, look, I think I think everyone's gonna find our, I mean, unless he does something stupid, he'll be fine. I mean, everyone has controversy.
Yeah,
I mean, the controversy around Rachel was because she was the first Black Bachelorette. And are they, is that going to have to be the focus of the show? And I think we all agree that she did a good job of navigating that. But even that was controversial. So I think, again, playing the defender of Ari, it's like, so what that he acted a certain way on a TV show 5 years ago? People do. And so what if he had a girlfriend before he came on the show? People do.
He's definitely a go ahead, because I was thinking that he's like, there's a lot of forgiveness on The Bachelor for sure. There's a lot,
right?
Like,
it doesn't take much to be forgiven.
Well, yeah. And if people are smart, that they they make that part. I guess here's one thing I can see based on what you're saying that maybe he hasn't capitalized on. If he has this reputation, if you're smart, you make that part of your narrative because you build in that forgiveness as part of the love that you get eventually. And I didn't get the impression at all from the first season that there was any controversy around him. If I were him, I think I would kind of try and embrace these things so that it's like, oh, I can propel myself from this, like, I'm not a fan favorite, I have these skeletons in my closet, or at least perceived skeletons. I'm gonna, like, do a great job regardless.
But ABC hasn't addressed the controversy at all, which is strange of them, and honestly, he is, like you said, Craig, he's a man with a job, and he's probably one of the best looking bachelors in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
like,
universally
good looking. Right. Sure. He's like a Euro guy on an American diet, which is like, they're so much taller when they're in the... So he's like a good mix of a lot of worlds, of a lot of like wants of a man, but the fact that he's a sleaze, he has a sleazy... based on the recap, if any other Bachelor fans out there remember all this, or if I'm jogging their memory, I think it will... It will kind of be like, those couple weeks when they announced him and there was still time to change it. That's what everyone was kind of like, wait, why are you picking him? I'm figuring.
Just because he's a good looking guy and somewhat dashing means he's not worthy of being the Bachelor? I guess I don't understand.
Well, if I'm understanding right, it's more of these other character things that you're talking about, right, UCR?
Right,
it's
yeah.
It's like, what is... He's not beloved, and he's not this kind of, like, stand-up or maybe necessarily, like, interesting guy, so therefore, why is he the Bachelor? Is that more...
Well, right, so my qualms are that, I mean, good-looking and everything is on the plus side. That he has a job and he's good-looking. That's what makes him the Bachelor. What shouldn't make him the Bachelor is the fact that he lied to the Bachelorette. He did not show any emotion when he got cut. And he apparently had a girlfriend before he left for the Bachelor. And maybe he has someone on the inside campaigning for him as opposed, you know, and he wants to live off being the Bachelor. That's what it seems like.
All right.
Yeah, let me ask this. Let me put it this way, too. Would it be more acceptable if he were a contestant than The Bachelor? Is there a different criteria for contestants than for The Bachelor? Because to me, sounds like, yeah, he could be a contestant, but maybe The Bachelor should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah, and that's what Nick did, if you guys, or I don't know how far you go back, Craig, but that's what Nick did. He was hated,
right. And
he saw Caitlin... Right. On the show, and he's like, I want to come back to Bachelor because I want you. And he came back like as 10 people were already cut.
Right.
And he weaseled his way up to getting, you know, second place, or I don't want to say that because Caitlin liked him. So he didn't. He made it to second place, and then he got picked as the Bachelor. So, it, you know, maybe that would have been a better, you know, ascend back into the Bachelor's good graces or something.
I see.
All right. Well, okay. I guess, you know, maybe I think the first episode will probably reveal a lot. We'll get a better sense of his motivations, perhaps. Because I think right now we're a little heavy on his background, right? And so it's kind of like we're really kind of set up right now, ready to go to see what he delivers in the present.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Especially, again, since I don't have this history with him, I'm really curious to see what he is like interacting with people, if he seems sincere or interesting. A lot of this episode, we didn't even talk about how this episode cuts to Evan and Carly and this blonde guy and his wife with this baby. It's like one third of it is Ari. One third of it is like the top 10 worst kisses in Bachelor history. And one third of it is, let's see these babies.
Right.
These,
well, first these of all, I think I like that, those aspects. I thought the show was actually better than I had thought it was going to be because they didn't dwell too much on certain, you know, like they did give us these other kind of more comical moments, but it reassured me that when they do these two night live episodes, it's just too much. Nice having it in one night when I don't have to like plan my Tuesday around watching the second half. But I did want to talk about Jade and Tanner once again because they were part of that little retrospective group because now they have a baby and they were walking. They said they live in Kansas City, Kansas, right? I think that's where it said they lived. Which, I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners live in Kansas. As you know, I lived in Iowa for 8 years. I feel it gives me authority to talk about the Midwest. I felt bad for them because they're walking to the park. And it's like this dreary, overcast, horrible fall day. And, you know, this is their life. And, you know, because it's been pointed out that Jade, every time you see her, just does not look like a happy person. But hey, her smile is her smile. She's had a lot of Botox and it's hard to really get a read on how happy she really is. But Carly, I know, Ezra, you don't like Carly. I felt they gave us a lot last night. What do you think?
Just to go back to Jade real quick, because Jade was kind of, you know, robotic throughout her right. When she was on The Bachelor.
I love having
and
a kid, and I love being in a relationship, and The Bachelor is great, and it's 65 and overcast outside.
If she's robotic, then Tanner's really boring. They were so boring that they didn't even I didn't even notice they were together on that. So they're just they're happy that being boring. So even that, you know, they're like, it is outside day. You know, they don't really they're just walking. I don't know.
I love how it's like they walk by the trail that like leads between their condominium complex and the next condominium complex. That was that's what Kansas City, Kansas has to offer.
Cool. It's the scenic hike, right?
Right. Let's take the baby for a walk. And don't get me started on walking a baby is actually pushing a baby in the stroller. That's a whole nother thing that I don't get, but this is neither the time nor the place for that conversation.
You know, Evan and Carly, I just think they're annoying, but I don't.
You've never liked her, and you really don't like him. So
no, I think
you're
the other way around.
Your true emotions here.
I think that I don't really. When you don't like someone and you see them, it's kind of like you just ignore them. That's how I don't.
Haven't
I think
given
I mentally
checked
that. I kind of checked that when I saw them because they're so obnoxious.
Yeah. I hate to be a terrible person, but it is always one of the highlights of talking to you when you go off on them ECR. So I always enjoy it when
come on, we know ECR, you have something to say.
But it's nothing compared to...
I don't know. I hate Carly, but I don't really think about her because... I'm just frustrated with her. You know, I don't know. I can't really, I don't have anything to say except her face is melting.
Well, I got something to say then, which is on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu, which is how we play back the previous night's episodes during our podcast in the background. Jaden Tanner just came up. And I would like to point out that on this overcast Midwestern fall day, which... is actually a difficult time of year if you live in those areas. And you probably know this from New York, Chris. You never really know what to wear, right?
Yeah.
You can't really layer because you'll get all hot and sticky. And you can't really wear shorts because you're going to get cold and breezy. So what do you wear? Well, so he's wearing a white undershirty thing with black gym shorts. It's like, okay. Jade is wearing like a layered... like a little kind of throw over her top, which is fine. But then did you see her jeans? They're like the most cut up, pre-cut up acid wash jeans I've ever seen in my life. Like the entire front,
I remember all
the way from top to bottom was almost gone. There were like threads connecting the pieces of fabric to each other, which I thought was an odd choice.
Yeah, but, you've got to bring a little punk rock to Kansas, you know.
Even my jeans are making a statement. So the top is brown. Her shirt is brown. Her boyfriend's husband is wearing a white and black outfit, and she decides to go with the most avant-garde pair of jeans she could find for this day of filming.
That is the most interesting thing about her. Yeah,
it's her jeans.
She was so. I think on her season of The Bachelor, the only reason she ever stood out to me was because she was in Playboy and she had to admit it.
Well,
at one
she was
point.
On a Playboy video on Playboy.com, but I think that's cool. I respect people that do those kinds of things. I mean, as long as she's paid. And but remember, it was her brother. It was her whole family. They kept referring to her as like the lone wolf. And, like, she does it her way. She's a rebel. When really she's not at all. It's just that she wanted to leave home.
Right, because she was in Playboy. And it's you know, and because of that, she got breast implants. And I forget what something, I don't know. But it was a very, she was so boring, you know, that was the thing that stood out. I don't know how she made it on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, I don't know why they chose her. Except that she made it all the way to like the top five or top four, so maybe just as a recognizable.
Well, the Playboy thing was over the top scandalous. People really liked that storyline, especially because it was Chris Soules, who was the bachelor, who's you know the Iowa farmer who'd never even seen a woman before. And but But as you know, we all know he's one of the lucky few who have like literally got away with murdering somebody while drunk driving. So kudos to him.
I knew you were going to say that, Craig. I knew you were going to bring it up.
I don't like the law. I don't listen to the law. I don't watch L.A. Law.
He's made it into the vaunted circle of people who can get away with murder.
Yes. All right. Okay, well, should we go back to the list of women here for a little bit longer? I feel like there's still some things to say. I feel, you know, who's here for the right reasons, who's not here for the right reasons. I feel pretty comfortable about the group of women. I mean, obviously, everyone has their motivations, and this is a TV show, but there's three specifically that jump out. One is a television news anchor or reporter. Television host here. Jessica, 26, television host. So she's there for the wrong reasons. Kendall, the creative director. We saw a bit of her last night. She's the one that was cackling for a while on a confessional. She was on Fear Factor. So is also in it for the wrong reasons. And then there was one other...
And she's the quirk... They're trying to put her as the quirky...
Right.
New onion girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can tell it in her photo because she's like, I keep saying like, sorry, we've had a few months off. I'm out of practice. I'm trying hard. Even her photo, her official portrait photo thingy here makes her come across a little oniony.
Yeah.
The way they have her positioned, it just, we're not used to seeing people facing directly towards the camera. And so that's how they have her positioned. So sneaky move by the official ABC staff photographer.
So we call her the onion girl, if everyone remembers, is the one who walked up to a tree and saw grapefruit and said they were onions, just to be weird.
It wasn't like Lauren S or something, was it?
It was a very common name, yeah. It was
she had a letter, like, yeah, she was one of multiple women with the same name.
Yeah. My number one for, or is there another wrong reasons person? Because
there
I have a number
another
one.
Another TV person who I'm trying to remember. But no, go ahead.
So my absolute number one wrong reasons girl. And if she's not, then I can't believe it, because she has the wrong reasons list ticked off here. She moved to LA.
Mm.
She became a... Yeah.
So oh, I know who you're talking about. Chris's for some reason, I think this is your favorite, Chris.
I know who you're talking about now too. She's into taxidermy.
Bika.
Right. No. It's Becca.
Bika.
Bika is what I call her.
Yeah, I think we're going to call it Bika.
But I'm sure we'll come up with a better, with a very good, you know, early on, she's going to, you can tell by the initial trailer, I love, or whatever, the like sneak peek, I love watching, but then I love forgetting about it.
Right.
Because then I'm just expecting those scenes the whole time. But she looks like she's going to be a player here. So she moved to LA, became a nanny, which is the new waiter, you know, because everyone has to have their kid being taken care of individually.
Right.
And she someday hopes to own an art studio, you know, signal for I Never Want to Work.
Hey.
No, I'm not saying they don't.
I have an art degree.
I'm not saying they don't work. I'm saying that that's what people think they do when they don't want to work. Like, they think that that's easy.
Well, it's true. If you're say, independently wealthy, like you're Shep from Southern Charm or something, saying you own an art gallery is an easy way to get people off your back. Like, what do you do for a living? Well, I live off a trust fund. If you don't want to say that, you say, oh, I run an art gallery. Because really all you need to run an art gallery is like a logo. You don't really need anything else to make people think you do art.
And it's a good money laundering scheme, too.
It's true, right. It's a cash-based business.
Yeah. And so it just seems like that perfect, people that go, I don't know, maybe I'll do this, or maybe I'll own an art studio. You know, they think it's if you're good at it, it's not simple.
Right.
If you have a lot of money to just pour into it, and you can never go. You know, it's such a wide range of whether I you we've all been to art places where you're like, oh, no one cares here. Or, wow, this guy lives off of it, obviously, because he works so hard at making a show every month or whatever it is. Right. So, yeah. So it just seems very, I don't know. She's definitely my number one future social media influencer, art studio, LA nanny, Becca with an M. We'll see if she proves. She's wearing lingerie in her picture, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, they've obviously set her up to be the one, because everything, I mean, everything from what she's wearing to, you know, her short hair.
Stands out,
yeah.
You're saying?
Bika, yeah. They're everything about her is, we're going to make her the bad girl.
Oh, well, I don't know if I've ever felt that way, except until I see the second episode. I don't want to say first. Second is where I see the whatever, the, hey, you hate that person. Yes. You know, they'll do that the first one, but then people will reconcile. Because it's the first night.
She was invited to nationals for rock climbing and placed third on the West Coast in my division.
Right. And rock climbing is another one of those sports you want to have enough time away from work because you don't do anything. I mean, I used to rock climb. Just full disclosure here, I don't think it's an easy thing. But I'm telling you that it's one of those things that you want to be able to have all day to do it. It's not like I'm going to go surfing in the morning and then be at work by 9. It's one of these things that's like I want to leave for a week. And, you know, an art studio, a social media influencer, a nanny, that all works into her. And maybe it's for, you know, tone so she could get that part on that Stoop show where she interviews a celebrity for 15 minutes on YouTube. It's going to work out great. Depends how far she makes it, though.
Wow. We don't even need to watch the season. You've already got Bika figured out.
Oh, I know so many of them. Or I've met so many of them, you know?
I'm from Fresno, California.
Right. So. And I'm from L.A. I can tell the people that are going to stay and the people that are going to leave. And you're just, you know, and they're the ones who give LA a bad name, I feel. Not always. I have plenty of friends that are transplants, but in my heart, I can, like, I tend to instantly go, ugh, but then I have to remember that I have to be open-minded and whatever, whatever. Right. And I normally end up hating them anyway, so why am I even?
Well, if you're from Fresno, like, moving to LA is sort of like moving to the big city, right? Like, I imagine it's like being in Rochester for Chris. You know, New York City is the big city, right?
So, oh, yeah.
It's like, if you grew up in Fresno, it's like, someday I'm going to go live in L.A. And,
well, you're from the Bay Area. Does it work that way?
I don't know. Is Fresno NorCal or SoCal? I feel it's...
Definitely. Oh, wait. Maybe
like
I don't know.
It's on the line there, I think. But
yeah,
any of those Central Valley places like Bakersfield and Fresno and like you... You know, I think you dream of getting to the coast at some point, and then someday you pack up your car and make a trek for the big city.
Yeah, and become a nanny just like you've always wanted to. Just kidding.
Hey,
she
you
is
make
not
a lot of money being a nanny, you know?
No,
like a live-in nanny or whatever. Or...
Yeah, but that's the waiter aspect of it. You can make a lot of money being a bartender and a waiter for sure, but it's not the dream here. I think. I don't think people move to become nanny.
We'll be seeing a lot of her. And you're right. We need something better than Bika. That sounds like a some sort of equipment you would use in a PhD in chemical psychology. Hand me the Bika. Well, we're coming up on. Well, we are at an hour, so I think maybe we call it here. And
yeah, I think we'll have much more after next episode, as you said, Craig.
Now is the first episode on the January 1st or January 2nd?
January 1st.
January
1st. Is a Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely the 1st.
Alrighty, so we'll be back and mastering the Bachelor Universe with all you, our fantastic listeners, on January 2nd. Look for us on iTunes and Google Play Music or whatever it is. I never completely understood how you get to podcasts on an Android phone, but people do it.
Castbox.
Ah. All right, Chris, EZR, I think this is it. Anything else?
Nope, can't wait to see this guy in advance his career.
Yeah, same here.
I can't wait to help him in his next career as a social media influencer.
Yeah, real estate developer maybe is next for him.
All right, Ari, until we meet again, over and out.
Bye.
Bye.